for raising breakthrough believers. In every church, you'll find diversity, a mixture of and variety of unique people, races, culture, personalities, backgrounds, gender, social, economical status, and levels of spiritual maturity, growth, and progress. And these diversities, when properly implemented in an environment and culture of honor, can provide a positive catalyst for kingdom advancement. So as a child of God, your life and assignment consist of bringing glory to God and advancing the kingdom of God. So you were created by God and for God. You with me? All right. So now, in this chapter, you know, we're going to look at two additional governing principles for raising breakthrough believers. And those are, number one, discipline and mentoring believers at different levels of maturity and gifting. And number two, cultivating a worshipful heart and intense passion for his presence. So principle number one, discipling and mentoring believers at different levels of maturity and gifting. So the author, he starts out by stating, when believers are born again and added to the kingdom of God, first we need to move them into the process of discipleship immediately. So now discipleship is to discipline someone. We need to mold them through changing their thinking patterns so that they will devote themselves to a new pattern of behavior and conduct, expressing the desired lifestyle, So that's a person who is disciplined. So there will not be complete discipleship without changing their thinking patterns and changing their lifestyles and conduct. You know, you have a whole lot in the body of Christ. You know, they get saved, but they still doing the same thing they were doing before. So many who are converted seldom make it to discipleship. You know, they're in a new environment, but inwardly they haven't changed. It's just like being in the fish pond. You know, they were once in the fish pond, now they're in the aquarium. You know, but there hasn't been no change on the inside. Same fish in a different pond. So there are Christians, they're carnal Christians, they're saved, but their mindset haven't been renewed with the word of God. And by their thinking patterns, they have changed, they have not changed their lifestyle and their conduct. Now, discipleship brings about a change in their thinking patterns. And so as we teach believers to observe and to devote themselves to sound doctrine. Now, I want to look at 1 Timothy right quick. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy. Something that, you know, the apostle was saying some things in his class that I'd been thinking about all day, about how, you know, when a person has, remember, like he was talking about John Mark. John Mark was supposed to have, you know, been going along with, he had been trained and that sort of thing and stuff. He was supposed to have been going along with the team doing the work of the ministry, but he pulled out. And so the apostle Paul didn't want him to go with him. Barnabas, you know, they got in a heated discussion about it. But so we have to make sure that a person is really in sound doctrine. So the apostle Paul was teaching Timothy here. And so he said in that second verse of that first chapter of 1 Timothy, he said, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some of them that they teach no other doctrine. See, because we're gonna see further that when we are discipling people, we have to make sure that they stay on track. They stay on track with what they've been taught. So he goes on to say, this is what you got to see. The Apostle Paul, he's training Timothy, right? So he's telling Timothy, he's saying, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Then he said, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience of the faith unframed, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jaggling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereon they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So he's training Timothy. He's training him. And so he goes on and he tells them about, he say, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. So he's training him in sound doctrine. And so whenever a person is being discipled, we have to make sure that they're being trained in sound doctrine. So we must provide clear, sound doctrine so that their thinking patterns can change and their lifestyles challenge to honor God. So now what Apostle is doing, we're in the training center and we're being trained for ministry, right? And so, but we have to make sure that we understand that we're not just being trained just to be trained, but there are going to be people who we are going to have to train. Are y'all with me here? See what you're receiving for yourself. You have to be willing to allow that word to really shape you and disciple you, so that you in turn you can be able to pass it on when the time comes. You understand what I'm saying? So now after we train people to live out this dimension of discipleship, we need to take them to the next level. We train them to know, to say, and to do that which God has given us. Now in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 19 through 20, it says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, disciples are to observe all that God has commanded the apostles to do. Y'all with me? So they are to reproduce what the apostles are doing. Now, there are so many who can't really, and we'll begin to that in a few minutes, but a lot of folk cannot really follow the instructions of others. And so when it comes down to apostolic government and that sort of thing and stuff, as the apostle was saying earlier, whenever you're being trained by an apostle, you have to make sure that you're really doing what he's teaching you. Okay, watch this. All right. Just like, you know, I pastor a church, but there's things that the apostle is teaching. I teach what he teach. Some things I teach what he teach word for word. Somebody say, well, how in the world can you do that? Turn to Isaiah 61. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you a little hint here on something. Isaiah 61. Verse 1. It says, The Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he had did what? Anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to open up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. All right? Now turn to Luke, the 4th chapter. Turn to Luke 4, 18. Who is speaking this? Who is speaking this right here? Jesus was speaking this in Luke. Okay, but watch this. Who was speaking that over there in Isaiah? That was Isaiah. Okay, guess what Jesus is doing? Jesus is preaching what Isaiah preached. Jesus is preaching Isaiah's sermon. That's what he's doing. Okay, so when somebody got a problem, somebody say, well, how in the world can you preach what somebody else preached? Preach somebody else. If Jesus could preach Isaiah's sermon, I can preach the apostle's sermon. You understand? So many times folk trying to recreate something when all you have to do is, when you following an apostle, all you have to do is follow him right on down the line. So watch this. Apostles really, they correct doctrine. You know, like when the apostle went into the grace message. And then, you know, he wound up, you know, he said he had to bag out of it. And so we were right there with him. You understand what I'm saying? So he had to come. So he didn't just ease out and sneak out and then just leave us in there. He came out and he told us. He said, look, this thing has to be balanced with the whole counsel of the word of God. Amen. There's some things here that just don't add up. And so what he's doing is, as an apostle, he's correcting doctrine. You know, it's because a whole lot of the church is going along with that. But an apostle, amen, he's supposed to be correcting that. So that's why, you know, when you follow an apostle, you know, if he go in somewhere and he bag out, then you go in and you bag out with him. You understand what I'm saying? You don't sit around talking about, oh, I don't know. The most people who will not turn when the apostle turn, see, I'm going to say this. A lot of folk didn't want to turn in that grace message because, amen, they wanted to stay in that mess they were in. Because, see, they felt like grace was really covering up what they were doing. Yeah, yeah, so everything was like, grace got it. Don't worry about it. You know, let's go ahead on. Grace got you, whatever. No. That's not what the Bible says. Why in the world would God teach us to learn this word and how to present our bodies a living sacrifice and all this if we just go and do anything and then grace got us? You understand what I'm saying? So we have to understand. So what the apostle is teaching, so there's people who, not only my church, but there's people who I meet certain places and stuff. And guess what? Amen. I stay in line with what the apostle's teaching is. Yes, right. Praise the Lord. So disciples is not only to regulate a person's behavior according to what we're teaching them, but also to train someone who will be able to reproduce us in all that God is calling us to do. So, see, it has to be a reproduction. The kingdom citizen, we're supposed to be reproducing ourselves. You understand what I'm saying? So the disciples must be apostolic in nature, thinking paradigm and lifestyles. Then it goes on to say, discipleship is not only giving them a set of doctrines to adhere to, but discipleship means to reproduce after our kind. See, that's a reproduction thing. You understand what I'm saying? So, all right. So once the apostle begins to pour into our life, then we have to make sure that we are discipling people. You with me? And so, so what happens is there's a great multiplication that starts to happen. And so the work is carried out so that the apostle don't have to be everywhere at the same time. Because guess what? When we leave out, then we go into different directions. And so we pouring in to others what's been poured into us. You understand what I'm saying? So what happens is it makes the work a whole lot easier. And then we can cover a whole lot more ground. Praise God. So reapers at our own kind, so that there will be no more of those who will be observing all that God has taught the arrowhead leader. So talk about apostolic blueprint. And do y'all in the second year, do y'all have the Alliance of Honorable Men? Do y'all take that class? First year, okay. All right, well, y'all took it already then. All right. The Pattern Sons, man, when I first read that book and I got to that Pattern Son, I got there, man, I cried. Oh, Lord have mercy. You know why I cried? I cried because that was a long time that the Holy Spirit was leading me and guiding me to really how to be submitted and how to follow a spiritual father and that kind of thing and stuff. See, this is what a lot of folk didn't understand. See, I came from the streets, so I was a rebel. So the Holy Spirit had to teach me how to follow. Because, see, once I came out the street, I said, you know, I'm going to church and stuff, but I ain't trying to hear what nobody got to say, especially somebody trying to tell me what to do, trying to tell me how to live. Oh, no, we ain't having that. So the Holy Spirit had to really deal with me. So he carried me on a journey and really taught me how to submit, how to be corrected without getting my ego in the way, getting my feelings out of the way. You understand what I'm saying? So he had to teach me these things. So there was a lot of times there was men of God that I served, and I was always called, they always called me stupid. They always said that I was a flunky. Now you got to understand, they had no idea where I came from. Where I came from, man, I led a gang. I ain't no punk. Come on, talk. You understand what I'm saying? So they couldn't understand. People couldn't understand it because they didn't know, you know, where it came from and that kind of thing. So people thought, you know, oh, there he go. He looking up behind. No. The Holy Spirit was strategically teaching me, systematically teaching me how to follow a man and a woman of God. He was teaching me to do that. So I served three men of God. I served three. But all three of the men of God that I served was only training me so that I could serve the apostle. Amen. That's right. You understand what I'm saying? So I went through a whole lot of stuff, you know, people saying different things and stuff. But I knew in my heart that what I was doing was right. I knew serving the man of God. I knew sowing into. Now, back years ago. Years ago, when I was in the work field and stuff, I wasn't pastoring. I had a pastor. Every Friday, I get paid off. The Holy Spirit told me to do it. I'd get off from work. I'd go to his house, and I'd get a couple of $100 out of my pocket, and I'd give. He said, oh, no, don't do that. I said, you can burn it up when I leave. I said, the Lord told me to bring this to you. Now, I don't know nothing about, you know, sowing into the man. Like, I don't know nothing about it. I'm just following the Holy Ghost. So through doing that, you know, I had people. I remember one time my pastor drove up with a brand new Roadmaster, Buick Roadmaster. He drove up with it that Sunday, and he said, man, I'm out in the garage waiting for him. And so he drives up, and I say, man, that is a nice car. And so he was just telling me, you know, how God had blessed him and stuff. And so I turned, and the Lord said to me, the Lord said, now, I want you to rally up the people to pay it off. I said, okay. So this is what I did. So we had a traditional church. So I couldn't just go and just say, and I had just came to this church anyway. I hadn't been that long. And so God speaking this to me. So this is the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gave me. I went to the head deacon who was, you know, who was running things. I went to the head deacon. I said, look, I said, the Lord said that we ought to pay this car out for a pastor. And then I told him, I said, look, I said, now, you've been here a long time. You know the people and stuff. I said, you come up with how we're going to do it and that kind of thing. Stuff. I said, don't mention my name. I said, I don't have to. And so, see, that was the key. He didn't have to mention me. So he made it look like he was doing it. You understand what I'm saying? So. Man, we paid that call. We paid it right on off. And he was around there, you know, He was around there grinning, had his chest out, up in the air and stuff. See, the thing about it is, it ain't who get the credit. It's God is the one that be glorified. You understand what I'm saying? See, it was, I told him, I said, it's a God idea. It wasn't my idea. So people, you know, they had all kind of things that they said and stuff about me. See, well, because I was from the street, it didn't make me no difference. Long as didn't nobody touch me, I was fine. But that was many times, man, when I'm by myself, man, I'm crying because people don't understand me. They don't understand me, man. Man, this is what God put in my heart. God put in my heart, man, for me to follow close and for me to really be a blessing to the man of God, really serve. And so even when I started following the apostle, there was a lot of people who didn't understand. But when I read that book, I started crying. I said, my goodness. I said, look like somebody understand how you're supposed to follow and how you're supposed to serve and how you, no matter what. So now I have got corrected. I've gotten rebuked. And guess what? I can say this with a clear conscience. I have never said anything negative about the apostle. Never. Been following for 17 years. Never. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I said that because that Pattern Son, man, that thing messed me up. I said, my goodness, somebody else the Lord was talking to, in the same way. But you know, praise the Lord. So then that's mentoring is the second thing. And on the other hand, has to do with imparting skills and styles so that the believers are able to do what they are supposed to do. We are coaching them so that they can become peak performers. So now there's two styles of a mentor, active mentoring and passive mentoring. The active mentoring is designed by both parties to outwork these things over a period of time. The mentor will provide consistent help until the skill is transferred and the believer is functioning effectively. Now, whenever you're training somebody or somebody's training you, you have to always come to the point where you're not bothering them or you're not worrying them. See, it's up to, you know, their discretion when they want to share something with you, pour into you, and that kind of thing. Had a guy call me up and say, "Man, I just, you know, I want to know how to really follow and how to really be a son, and I just need you to help me." I said, "Okay," I said, "I'll help you." And so he just calling me and worrying me. I said, "My God, man, look, I don't want to talk to you every day. Could you please not call me like this?" Praise the Lord. Now, when I became inspired to share something with him, I did. But you don't worry the person because you messed the whole thing up. So the mentoring program requires yieldingness, submission to authority, gifts and callings of the mentor on the part of the believer, so that these skills can be crafted into his life, and so that he can produce the effective results. So now. And you have to follow. You have to follow close, but you don't follow close enough till you irritating the person. You with me? See, because there's something that's going to be taught. There's something that's going to be caught. And so the things that are caught, that's something that you want to catch. And that you'll see that in the, you know, the passive mentoring. In passive mentoring, the believer learns from our ways of trying to do what we do, what we're doing to the best of his ability. It requires a lot of self-initiative. Now, you got to be a self-starter. You can't be lazy. You understand what I'm saying? Like the apostle was saying, he got sons that's following him, and some of them they don't know how important it is to really make the necessary sacrifice to make the meetings. A lot of times, you know, like myself and my wife, there was times when, you know, we was real short on traveling and that kind of thing and stuff. But because our heart was into it, God always made a way. And we always made, that was something that we had to rearrange. Something that we were doing, you know, like going out to eat every weekend and that kind of thing. So we stopped doing that. You know what I'm saying? We stopped. We stopped all that eating every weekend and stuff like that because it was taking away money that we needed to follow. You with me? So now, both discipleship and mentoring are basic training concepts that must become operational within the apostolic base. Both are important because discipling covers truth and thinking paradigm, while mentoring covers skills, styles, and presentation and performance. One thing, and I've said this many times, you know, when I started following the apostle, when people were saying that, man, y'all following that man and you giving him all your money, well, how in the world can I keep on giving money that I don't have? So something had to be happening in my life. I mean, you don't have to be no rocket science to understand that. You understand what I'm saying? Some people just crazy. And let me tell y'all something, students. Don't y'all be crazy enough to go to this school, the ones that don't come, that don't go to Word of Life. Don't be crazy enough to go to this school and sit down and don't sow seed in the apostle. Because I'm telling you that it does not happen overnight. But if you stick with it, it's gonna manifest. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it's gonna manifest if you just stick with it. So I don't know why people don't want to make the. See, if you really want something, you go after it. And you go after it with all that's in you. Whatever sacrifice you have to make. See, everybody, this is especially following closely. Everybody can't do this. You know why? I know everybody can't do it because there's a percentage of people who, see, because there's going to always be satanic resistance. And some people, they're not going to press in, you know, when the enemy is trying to resist them from doing certain things as it relates to following. Paul said, I press. So in pressing, that means that there's going to be some opposition. But you're going to have to press. You're going to have to keep on keeping on. You understand what I'm saying? So when believers are established in these paradigms of discipleship and mentoring, we will need to select those who are willing to go to the next level. Then he talks about spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering is an apostolic concept of reproducing the next generation of sons and daughters to whom we can transfer our legacy in ministry. Now, you know, I've been married for 36 years. Okay, so I don't know what year it was. There was one year my wife and I, we were getting ready to celebrate our marriage. We got up that morning. We had a list of things we were going to do all through the day, you know, just celebrate our marriage. So the apostle called me and said that he needed me to be somewhere. And so I got off the telephone. My wife said, who that is? I said, that's Dad. She said, what do you want? I said, he wanted me to meet him to go to this certain place. And she said, well, you better go. And so I dropped everything, and I went, and he shared some things with me that changed my life. And so I told him, you know, my anniversary and stuff. I said, but my wife told me to go. He said, you got a smart wife. He said, because I can say two words and change our whole future. You understand what I'm saying? So I've heard men cry about, you know, I can't go because, you know, it's my wife's birthday or this here and that or whatever and stuff. Well, let me tell y'all something. My wife loved me to go. She when an anniversary come up or a birthday, she want to know, do you have to go in the web with the apostle? Do you have to? You know why? Because she know that I'm going to make it good. You understand what I'm saying? See, okay, because, and I think about this. If Jesus was out feeding the 5,000 and he told his disciples, you know, that they were going, you know, and they had a work to do. And so Peter decides that it's his wife's anniversary. He can't come. And so what do you think that Peter would have? Now, Peter already denied him three times, right? Do you think that Peter would have been able to recover and be the first one in church history to preach the first sermon in church history It cost 3,000 people to be saved? No, no, no. Peter got what he got because Peter was following. And so, you know, I like to tell people this because, you know, this is the first thing people think. They think that, you know, well, you know, I don't know if it's that important. You know, you be leaving your spouse. No, 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 no. I just finished telling you that that particular time when the apostle told me he needed me to be somewhere, I want to say about 3 weeks to a month or so. I don't remember how long. I know it was right after that. I took my wife to New York, and we stayed there 7 days. And I didn't know it until around about the sixth day or so. The Lord surprised me. But after that, but I told him we got there. I said, every day that we here, you can shop and get whatever it is you want. And then on the sixth day, the Lord told me, the Lord said, this is her reward, because when you had to go with the apostle, she stayed there and she didn't complain. And so I told her, I said, do you know what this is? She said, what? I said, this is the Lord rewarding you for when our anniversary was and I had to leave and go with the apostle. So she want to know that when I have to go again. She won't know when you're going again. So I don't have those fights and stuff. See, because there's a work that has to be done, and so I'm trying to help other men and women to understand, man, how you do this, how you follow, man, you don't follow with all these excuses. I got an excuse about it. I can't do this. I got excuses, and then this is the thing. You have to know that the person that you're following love you. Right. You got to know so that when you're corrected, you don't have no attitude.
That's right. That's right.
And the thing about it is also you have to be careful who you are in fellowship with, because if that person is saying something about the person that you're following, as soon as you get rebuked, those thoughts don't come back up. Just like they said, they right. It sure is. God, I see now. You understand what I'm saying? And now what you've done, you've cut off what God was intending to do in your life. Can I help y'all with something? Do you know that God has, when God called you to follow somebody, I had this man who told me he stopped following the apostle, but he still wanted to talk to me. Oh, no, we can't talk. No, we can't talk, because you know what? You fool around and say something negative, then, see, once something is said to you, then it's like a seed song. All it needs is the right conditions before it starts to germinate. Then you start having negative thoughts. So you can't let nobody, you can't be around anybody who. So I said, no. We don't need to have no conversation. We don't need to talk. What's your problem anyway? You know. But what happened was when a person gets corrected, then all of a sudden the Lord, they fabricate these new instructions from God. Well, the Lord told me that if my season was up. What season? What season you talking about? What you talking about, Tony Sachery? What? This is crazy, man. This is asinine. The way folk just walk away from, amen, walk away from who God has ordained them to walk with. It is crazy. That's why Lord, I got two more minutes. What? I can't understand how in the world people graduate from this school and then do not join the alumni and come back. I graduated in 1997. No, I didn't. I graduated in 1994. My wife graduated in 97. In 94, and I've been coming to the school every year after that. Why? Because God has not finished what he started. What God starts, if we allow him to, he'll finish. But if we don't stay connected and stay close the way we're supposed to be, see, man, this thing, there's some people that you're going to touch that the apostle may not get an opportunity to. But because he's touched you and he's poured into you, then you're going to affect other folk's lives to a greater dimension. Amen. It all depends on how much It all depends on how much. I'm just looking at my clock. I'm looking at the clock because, see, one thing I don't do, I don't get out of order. You understand what I'm saying? I've been trained too well. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop right there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.